you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your word, Jesus. As we approach your word today, pray that you open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. These blessings, we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Children of Israel at this point have been delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh. They're on their way to the promised land. They're no longer bound, but they haven't received their promise yet. They're somewhere in the middle, which is a dangerous place to be, because it's one thing to be bound in chains, and it's another thing to be living in the promise that God has made you. But what do you do in between? In between, if it lasts too long, people give up and don't receive the promise. In between, if it's more difficult than what we thought it would be, we give up and don't receive the promise. Not in bondage, but haven't received the promise yet. That's where the children of Israel find themselves in this text. They've escaped Israel on their way to the promised land. And they are totally dependent on the word of the Lord, that God must tell them every day, this is what I want you to do. Because before they left, God said, listen, you have to listen to me because you haven't been this way before. I'm taking you to a place where you haven't been before. So don't rely on what you know and what you've experienced in the past, because none of that is going to help you. You need to depend on every word that I tell you every day. And some of us are in that situation as we sit here this morning, that what used to work doesn't work anymore. And you have to depend on the word of God, the tools, the instruments that used to work for you, the song that used to work for you, the verse that used to work for you, the friends that used to work for you, the strategy that used to work for you. It doesn't work anymore. And God says, you have to listen to my instructions, no matter how crazy it sounds, no matter how complicated it sounds, you have to listen to my instructions. In this text, God gives them some instructions that on the outside doesn't make much sense at all. Let's look at what God said to them. Exodus 14, beginning at verse number 1. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Phi-Hethron, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal-Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped where they were told. Tell somebody, camp where you are told. Yeah, you have to stay where you are told. This text is an example of why it is important that you know some biblical geography. That's the challenge with interpreting scripture, because it speaks about a land that most of us have not been to. It was written in a language that most of us don't speak, and a culture that most of us don't understand. But here is an example where understanding geography is important. Because if you don't understand geography, you won't understand the significance of where God told them to go. Understand, they are running from their adversary, Pharaoh. And the escape is going good. They got good headwind. They got some distance between themselves and Pharaoh. And God tells them, turn back. Oh, hold up, Lord. I see a clear path to my promise. But God says, I want you to make a turn. No, straight is the way. No, God says, turn. And he didn't just tell them to turn, but or just go to a particular area that has no significance. But when they went to the place where God told them to go, they found themselves in a situation where they had mountains on either side of them. I'm running from my adversary. Mountains get in the way. But they have mountains on either side of them. And if that wasn't bad enough, there's a sea in front of them. Mountains on either side. A sea in front of them. And guess what? There's only one way in and one way out. Geography is important interpreting scripture. God told them to go to a place running from their adversary. But God says, I want you to turn and you're going to go into a place where there will be mountains on either side of you, a sea in front of you, and the only exit is blocked by Pharaoh and his army. So he says to them, says, now Pharaoh is going to see this, and he is going to say, oh, they are confused. They don't know where they're going. You don't run into a mountain that has a sea in front of it. They are lost. Not only will he say that they are confused, but he says they're trapped. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm coming after y'all. Huh? He says, Pharaoh will look at you all and say, you all are confused and trapped. And then God said, and I will harden his heart. Yeah, because he can know that you are confused and trapped and not do anything about it. But no, God got involved. He says, I'm going to put you in the place where your adversary will think you are confused and trapped. And then I'm going to harden his heart and he will chase after you. Mountains on either side. See in front of you. And your adversary behind you with no escape. But then he tells them, but know this, I've planned it to display my glory through Pharaoh. He says, I'm using Pharaoh to display my glory. Now, there are a couple of lessons that we can learn about how God deals with us from these very important passages of Scripture. Let me say again where they are. Mountains on either side, sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army is chasing behind them. Here's the first lesson, that God will put you in a position where people will look at you and think that you are confused and trapped. Anybody, you don't have to wave your hand, but anybody ever been in a situation where you felt confused and trapped, don't know how you got in this situation and don't know how you're going to get out of the situation? Only thing that you know is that you obeyed God, you did what God told you to do, and now you find yourself in a situation where you had mountains on either side, a sea in front of you, and your adversary is behind you. Understand this, that the children of Israel were not in this situation because they disobeyed God. The only reason they were in this situation is because God spoke and they obeyed. God told them where to go and they went. And because they were obedient to God, they found themselves trapped by geography and their adversary. Can I tell you that somebody has lied to some of us by telling us that if you do things God's way, if you obey God, you won't ever get in any trouble. Somebody lied to us and told us, Tim, I remember the day. Tim, just always do what God tells you to do, and it will work out for you. It would all go your way. Somebody lied and said, if you obey God, you never feel confused and trapped. Somebody didn't tell us the truth. The reality is that sometimes when you obey God, he will take you into a place where you are confused and trapped. Not because of disobedience. And the devil is a liar, because he's telling somebody that the only reason why you're in that situation is because you sinned or you disobeyed God. He don't even want me to say it. You disobeyed God. But I come to tell you that God will put you in the position where to your adversary you look confused and trapped. He will put you in a place where it will seem like your adversary has advantage over you. There's a time where God will put you in that place. Here's the second thing we have to know. When you look at your situation and you feel confused and trapped, know that God planned it. Can I tell y'all? Know that God planned it. Can I tell y'all the truth? I read that part of the scripture this week, and it did something to me. I was right here in the sanctuary when I read it, and it spoke to my soul and stirred something in me, and I took off running in this place. Y'all ain't seen me run, but one of these days I'm a run. Because it spoke to me, because I was dealing with something and I couldn't understand why God would allow it to happen. And this verse says, I planned it. Jesus, oh, have mercy. He said, well, God, I'm confused by this situation. And God says, I planned it. I said, God, I feel trapped. I don't know how we're going to get out of this situation. And God said, I planned it. Can I tell you, there are some things that we wish we could change, but God said, I planned it. There are things that hurt our heart every day, and we wish we could flip it around, but God says, I planned it. We find ourselves in situations that we didn't plan for. You know, there are some things in life that you anticipate, and you prepare yourself to be able to get through those things. But every once in a while, something happens that we weren't expecting. Something happens that we were building ourselves up to be able to prepare ourselves for it. And the Bible says, God said, I planned it. When I told you to turn, I planned it. Guess what? When I created these mountains, I knew that one day I was going to put you in the middle of it. When I spoke and I formed the water and this sea became there, I knew that one day I was going to put you right before it. And guess what? When I allowed Pharaoh to raise up his kingdom, I knew one day I was going to tell him to chase you. So understand this. If you are in a situation this morning, God planned it. Oh, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. Nothing happens to the child of God by accident. Nothing is wasted. We are not the circumstances that we deal with, but everything that happens to us is planned by God. Even the adversary that's chasing you right now is planned by God. God said, I planned it. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, those people who turned their back on you, don't get upset with them. I planned it, God said. The people who let you go and are not treating you right, God says, don't get mad at them. I planned it. If you feel confused and trapped this morning, God said, I planned it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I got a plan. See, God's will is good. It's perfect. And it is pleasing. And whatever he allows works out for our good and his glory. He planned for Israel to be trapped. But guess what? They weren't really trapped. The Bible says that Pharaoh will think you are trapped. He will think you are confused. Listen, a child of God who knows who they are in him is never confused or trapped. The adversary may think we are, listen, we may not understand, but we are not confused. We are very clear that God is in control of our life. I got some questions. He says we are in despair, but not perplexed. I'm like, oh, this don't feel too good, but I'm not losing my mind. I'm not going to go crazy here because I know that I serve a God who plans everything in my life. Listen, the Bible says that they had mountains on either side of them, a sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them, but I want you to know they were not trapped, and neither are you. They had a strong deliverer, and so do you. Can I tell you, as a child of God, you are never in a situation where there is no way out, because he will make a way out of no way. You can be in a locked room with no doors and no windows, and he'll create a door or create a window, or he'll just come in and snatch you out. We have a strong deliverer. Oh my God. We are never trapped. There's always a way out for us. There's always something that can be done. We have a strong deliverer. But guess what? The adversary, God needs your adversary to think that you are confused and trapped. So stop trying to defend your reputation. Let them keep on talking about how confused and trapped you are. The whole plan is for them to think that we are confused and trapped. But I got good news. Never confused and never trapped. God will always make a way for us. So whatever it is, God planned it. Lesson one, God will put us in a position where it will appear that we are confused and trapped. Lesson two, whatever we're in, God planned it. And God's will is good and perfect and pleasing. And I don't have to resent my situation that I'm in. I don't have to be resentful and angry and frustrated. I don't have to play the blame game, because if I'm in it, God planned it and he will bring me out. Somebody need to tell yourself, look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning and says, I am in it, God planned it, and he will bring me out. Here's the third lesson, then we're done for the day. I observe here that God will use the appearance of confusion and being trapped to bring him glory. He uses it to bring him glory. It is a tool. It is an instrument. Whatever your it is this morning, he is using it to bring glory. Let me make sure we understand that glory, in its purest definition, is when God reveals himself. So when we come in on Sunday morning and we say, Lord, show us your glory. What we're saying is, God, reveal yourself to us. Take the mask off of our face, the blinders off of our eyes. In this precious moment, send your glory. That means reveal yourself to us. We want to know who you are. We want to experience you. So God says, I planned it. Because I'm going to use Pharaoh to reveal my true identity. God told Moses, look at what he says. God told Moses that he was doing this so that Pharaoh will know that I am the Lord. God tells Moses, understand, I'm not just playing games with you. I'm not putting you in a test to see how much you can bear. I'm not trying to figure out how much you love me and can you take the heat and will you break down. I'm not playing games with your emotions or your psychology or your biology. He says, no, I'm doing this because I want Pharaoh to know that I am the Lord. Can I tell you that some of the things we're going through, the only reason we're going through it is because there's somebody near you who God wants them to know that he alone is God. Come on, somebody. Let me say some things that often gets ignored by Bible students and interpreters. We read the scriptures. We know that God wants to be known. Hear what I'm saying. God wants to reveal himself to us. God is not playing some sick hide and go seek game where he's hiding in closets and under beds and in bushes wanting us to look for him, or he says, I'm over here, and then when we get there, he goes somewhere else to see if we'll continue to chase him. That's not the kind of God that we serve. No, we serve a God who is constantly revealing himself. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So God says, if you don't trust my word, look at the heavens. The heavens testify about me. It is the will of God that we know him. But here's the part that most biblical interpreters don't communicate. That God doesn't just want to be known by the victim and the oppressed, but he wants to be known by the villain and the oppressor. Come on, somebody. God wants to reveal himself to everybody. God loves everybody. And as much as he wanted Israel to know him, he also wanted Pharaoh to know him. Listen, Israel already knew God. Israel had experienced the deliverance of God. God brought them out with a strong hand and a mighty arm. Israel knew God, but Pharaoh didn't know God. God was not satisfied with Israel being the only ones that know him. He wanted Pharaoh to know him too. Aren't you glad that God didn't get satisfied that your grandmother knew him, but he wanted you to know him too? Huh? Aren't you glad that God doesn't just reveal himself to the nice people and the kind people and the faithful, good people, if there is such a thing? But aren't you glad that he wants to reveal himself to the villain and the criminal and the liar and the homemonger and the evil person and the murderer and the racist? Aren't you glad that God wants everybody to know him? Lord have mercy. He says, I know you mad at Pharaoh, but guess what? I love him too. I know you mad at that person who is oppressing you on your job, but guess what? When I was at the cross and I thought about you, I thought about them too. Oh, Lord have mercy. Aren't you glad that when you didn't want to know him, he wanted to know you? It is. Pharaoh is trying to destroy God's people. And God says, I'm going to set this whole thing up so that when this is done, you will know that I am God. You know, the Egyptians, we all know this. They were polytheists. They believed in many gods. So God said, I'm going to set this thing up so powerful that when all of this is done, you will know that I am God. You know, can I tell you? That was the reason for this whole scenario. God could have let them keep going where they were going. But God says, if they get to the promised land, who will tell Pharaoh that I am God? Oh, man. If they get comfortable, because you know how we get when we get comfortable. Or when we're uncomfortable, we can't pray long enough or fast hard enough. But once we get through the trouble, once we get to the promise, we get comfortable. Start sitting back, sipping on iced tea, watching movies. Pharaoh don't know God, but guess what? Hey, I'm doing good. I'm in the house this morning. So God says, before you get too comfortable, let me put you in the situation. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to put mountains on either side of you. I'm going to put a sea in front of you and Pharaoh behind you. Don't take it personal. I'm not trying to do anything to you. I'm trying to reveal myself to somebody else. Can I tell you that if you are feeling confused and trapped this morning, it could be that there's somebody near you that needs to know that he is God. Oh, man. Ooh-wee. We take it so personal. Why me, God, of all the people and all the things that could happen here? I pray that there's something about how we as a church handle it when we have mountains on either side, a sea in front of us, and an adversary behind us. I pray that there's something about the way that we handle it that will point people to say, whoever their God is, that's who I want to serve. Whoever is the God that can have a people who appear to be confused and trapped, but I still hear tambourines. I still hear praising and lifting up his, I need to know that type of God who will have an undefeated adversary chasing them, have geography against them, and he still makes a way out of no way. I want to know that God. Here's the revelation. In everything we go through, God's plan is to reveal himself to us or somebody near us. Psalms 119:71, David says, it was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. There are things that we learn about God only when we find ourselves in a situation where we appear to be confused and trapped. Here is the prayer. You can stand to your feet at this time. The prayer is that when we find ourselves in that situation, that we pray, Lord, I know you're trying to reveal yourself to me in this situation. What is it that you want me to know about you? I'm in a tight spot right now, dealing with something I wasn't prepared to deal with. But I know that if I'm in this situation, you're trying to reveal something to me. Give me clarity in my mind so that I can hear your voice and know what it is you're trying to teach me. Here's the test, though. Will we obey God even if obedience? obeying him leads us into a situation where we will be confused and trapped. Can you trust him even when you don't understand? Can you trust him even when it hurts? If you see an easy way out and he says, don't go the easy way, go this way, do you trust him enough to go the hard way? Oh God, do you trust him enough to say, it hurts, but I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you. Because knowing you is more important to me than being comfortable. Oh, Lord. The greatest reward that a man can have is to know God. People have given up riches to know God. People have ended unhealthy relationships to know God. People have given up their life to know God. Let me end with this scripture. Paul put it this way: things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let me encourage you today in your pursuit of God. You have to be willing to give things up. The more you try to hold on to, the less of God you will experience. The more you value your reputation or your friendships or your comfort or any of those things more than you value knowing God, your experience with him will be limited. If Israel didn't obey God, they would have never experienced the deliverance of seeing the Red Sea roll back like a scroll and walking through on dry land. And generation after generation celebrated that victory, and it wouldn't have happened if they weren't obedient to God. Oh, Lord. There are things that we're going through, and when we're gone, there are people that are going to remember our testimony. They were obedient to God. Got in a tight space, but they were obedient to God, and he delivered them. And now we have hope in God because of that. You might appear to be confused and trapped, but I want you to know that God planned it for his glory. You hear what I'm saying? God's going to get the glory out of it. Sister Lauren, God's going to get the glory out of it. I'm telling you what I know. I look back at some things that have ripped my heart in shreds, but I look at it now and I say, God, I thank you, because what I learned about you through that, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And once you know it, you can't unknow it. Lord have mercy. Once you experience, no philosophy, no theology, no scientist can change your mind. If you have been blind, but now you see, I don't care any atheist in the world that can convince me otherwise. Why? Because I remember when I couldn't see and I called on the name of Jesus, and now I can see. I haven't memorized the Bible, but I can see. I don't always get it right, but I can see when you experience God for yourself, you're not easily led astray. Let us pray. Jesus, we love you this morning. We pour ourselves out before your holy throne in this place. We are your people, called by your name, purchased by your blood. We desire you more than anything in this world. God, we confess this morning that there are some things that we don't understand. There's some things that we would have done differently. There's some situations we found ourselves in and we would do anything to change it. But God, we trust you this morning. We trust your will. We trust your judgment. We believe and know that whatever we are in right now, you planned it for our good and your glory. For all things work together for the good to them who love you and are the called according to your purpose. I pray for this precious congregation that stands before me now. You know each of us by name. You know the journey that we are on. You know the adversaries that have chased after us, and the mountains that are on either side of us, and the sea that's in front of us. And we don't know how we're going to get out. But God, we know that you are a strong deliverer. And because of you, we are never trapped. Hallelujah. There's always a way out for us. So I pray that you would stimulate faith in this atmosphere in the name of Jesus. That you would speak death to our doubt and faith to our fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that we will not toss and turn all night long, confused and feeling trapped, having panic attacks, not being able to breathe. No, sir, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. We offer our life to you again to use us to demonstrate your glory in this earth. God, we acknowledge that your will is to be known. And we acknowledge that the things that we go through, hallelujah, is so that your will will be known. Your face will be revealed in the name of Jesus. We thank you that somebody's going to look at our life and choose you. We thank you that somebody's going to look at our test and fall in love with you. We thank you that as we go through our circumstances, you are revealing yourself to us and the people around us in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, before we close this prayer, thank you for not just loving the victim and those that are oppressed, but thank you for loving the villain. Thank you for loving the criminal. Thank you for loving the liar and the backstabber and the gossiper. Thank you for loving those who are unfaithful and unfruitful. Thank you, God, that you don't just love people who we declare that are good, but thank you, Lord, that your love reaches every soul, no matter how dark or black or hard it is. God, we thank you that your love has no limit, because if your love had limit, we wouldn't be here today, because we may be the victim today, but in the past we've been villains. And I thank you for loving us anyway. Hallelujah. I thank you that in our darkness you made yourself known to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we walk in this marvelous light as you are in the light. I pray, God, now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would strengthen your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just for 30 seconds, can we lift our hands and worship God? Come on, just worship him. You might be in that valley this morning, and all you see is mountains and a sea, and the adversary is approaching. But worship him in your valley. Hallelujah. Confuse the adversary. Hallelujah. By sending up a worship to your strong deliverer. Because you are not trapped. You are not trapped. Don't be confused. You are, oh God, you are not trapped this morning. Hallelujah. Your strong deliverer has a plan. Hallelujah. He has a plan. said, hallelujah, it's all set up, hallelujah, for his glory, hallelujah. Oh, you're coming out with the victory, hallelujah. You're coming out with power, hallelujah. Glory to God, you're coming out with healing and wholeness in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Anybody can praise him on the mountaintop. Anybody can praise him when they already have the victory. But let's praise him while we're in the valley of the shadow of death, because we fear no evil, because the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to him. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Our strong deliverer. He will save us. He will rescue us. He will deliver us. He cannot lie. He will not fail us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to him who sits on the throne. Hallelujah. He's a strong deliverer. Hallelujah. A strong deliverer. Hallelujah. He can make a mountain flat. He can make water dry land. Hallelujah. He can make the strongest armies weak. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. He can make it so, hallelujah, that even if they pursue you at day, he can make it as night to them where they will not be able to fight. Oh, God knows how to hide us under the shadow of the Almighty, where no evil shall befall us. We have a strong deliverer. And what was set up against us, God can use it for us. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Bible says you meant it for evil, but he meant it for good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to experience something I've never experienced before. We're getting ready to see God in ways we haven't seen him before. We've never seen the sea open up for us, but God said, I'm opening up seas. This is a season of open seas for us. Hallelujah. Yes, God, I'm opening up the seas for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no limitation for him. Hallelujah. He said, I'll open it up. It's been closed for generations, but I'm about to open it up for you. I'm opening it up for you, says the Lord. I'm opening it up for you. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. He says, all you have to do is obey. You hear me. You hear what I'm saying. You hear what I'm saying. Do what I told you to do, and I'll open up the sea for you. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. He said, I'm going to open it up for you. Oh, I feel it. Somebody mark this day down. Put it on the calendar, because God said in this moment, he says, I'm opening up the sea for you. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. He says, I'm opening up. They think there's no way out, but I'm about to show them something that they've never seen before. Open it up. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. He says, all I need is obedience. All I need is obedience. Hear my voice and obey. No matter where I send you, no matter how it may appear to others, obey and watch the sea open. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I got to let y'all go. But God wants somebody to know that you got to look at a different perspective. That is not a hindrance, it's a setup, because I'm getting ready to do something that you've heard about but you've never seen. Hallelujah. Oh God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, listen. I've heard a lot of things, but I'm ready to see some things. Hallelujah. It's good to testify of what he did in the past, but how many of you know that he's a right now God? We need some right now. So I thank God that he opened up the Red Sea, but we got some seas in our life that we need him to open up. And he said, it's the season of the open sea. Hallelujah. He's opening seas and we're coming through. Hallelujah. Yes, God. We're coming through. He's a strong deliverer. Would you just put your hand on your neighbor and just speak to them and say, that sea is opening. That sea is opening. That sea is opening. You're not limited. You're not hindered. You're not blocked. You're not trapped. Don't be confused. That sea is opening. Hallelujah. This is the season of the open sea.